Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Fill-In. On the sofa this week, we have got an all-former footballer affair. We've got Alfie Mawson, former Fulham defender, and alongside him, we have got big Troy Deeney, you know him, Watford striker. We have got big football opinion this week. We're talking about Marcus Rashford, Erling Haaland, and Nicholas Jackson as well. All the FA Cup talking points and the Nottingham Forest social media team. Give your head a wobble. Wow. Just wow. It's a Football Fill-In. Right then, boys. Happy Monday, everybody. We got to start the show talking about Man United Coventry yesterday. I was lucky enough to go to the game yesterday, you know, lads, and it was a belter. And I'm going to put it out there and say that I think this might have been the best game of football I've ever been to live. Genuinely. It was incredible.
Great question.
It was incredible. Before the game, I had a little feeling that this was going to be a competitive game. Let's say it like that, a competitive game, yeah? That's the sort of sorry state that Man United are in at this moment in time, right? It's exactly what I thought. It's exactly how it played out. What did you think, Troy?
Exactly the same. So we've been doing this like prediction thing on TikTok, and I said Man United would win on pens, but I could see that Cov could win because of the way the striker's running behind and all of that. And after like, I think it was what, 2-0 down, Man United were 2-0 up, I was like, I'll balls this one up again. Do you know what I mean? Because a few people, I think, have been laying a little five run. But I'll balls this up for the people. And it all played out the way it is. I think United have been doing what United do recently. Yeah. Like, they're flatter to deceive. We've got some good players, but it's not a team. It's not a team that's really fighting for anything or going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, they need this season to break up as quickly as possible.
Is the problem with this Man United team the players, or is it the manager? What is wrong with Manchester United?
Oh, God. It's easy to say, isn't it, since Fergie left, that it's just been a downward spiral.
Yeah.
I just, from an outside view, I just feel like there is big characters there off the pitch, but as opposed to being on the pitch, when you need your characters, your leaders, they're just not there.
Do you know the kind of lads that we are, right? I would like to think we're kind of solid citizens when it comes to being a footballer, yeah? Honest pros. When we get on the pitch, we give everything we've got. We're not going to be rolling around. We're not going to be doing all the theatrics, yeah? We put a shift in.
Never been kicked by him. You have to roll around for a bit.
How many times have you had a duel with him where you're getting elbows in the back of the head, where you're head in his head, but you just get up and suck it up and get on with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems to me like Man United have got a lot of players that are the exact opposite of that. Want to kind of roll around, don't really want to stick their foot in. They're happy to take their wages, and that'll do.
Yeah, but I think you could talk to it better because you was obviously there under the Fergie. And you do have to put it away a little bit, the Fergie stuff, because obviously it was a great time and that's gone. I think Arsenal went through that for a long time and now they're coming out the back of it. But I think there's too many distractions at Man United, from ownership to fan base not being happy to the stadium being old. There's so many reasons as a player, and we know, let's call it right, the players aren't mentally as strong as they used to be.
Yeah.
They are in many of different facets, but in terms of criticism and taking on instruction and going and delivering it and thinking for themselves, that's not the way the game is anymore. I think there's an easy cop-out. Whenever something goes a little bit wrong, it can be like, oh, well, we don't know who the owner is. Oh, we don't know if the manager's going to be, oh, don't know if the technical director
is. Just blame something else. Of course
it is.
Me.
Yeah, of course it is. And it is getting to that point now where everyone's looking backwards instead of looking forward. And I think with a new ownership, it's like a clear line in the sand. And I said it a few weeks ago on Sky, I don't believe that the manager sees this out. Some people think he's going to stay. I just can't see how he is.
I can't see it.
Everybody else has changed. All above him's changed. So why would they keep this manager? And it's not his fault. He's just going to be part of the problem. And get rid of him. Get rid of a load of players. And I think you'll see 8 or 9 players coming in Man U in the summer.
Man United need leaders, don't they, Alfie? They need proper broad shoulders, grown men. I think Man United have got some very talented players, good individuals. There's no way this is a team at this moment in time, because there's not enough leaders, there's not enough solid citizens in that team to grab those youngsters by the scruff of the neck and go, no, we do it like this and let's go.
Yeah, you'd have a look at the starting 11 yesterday and you'd think, yeah, you've got Casemiro, he's won the Champions League umpteen times, so he knows how to perform in these big games. You've got Maguire, who obviously used to be captain, still a leader for England. He's a big part of it. And Fernandes, obviously skipper, Ten Hag took that decision to make him captain. You think these players you expect it of them. You know, you expect them to just drive the club forward regardless of however they're playing. They might not be playing well, but they still should be, you know, doing the basics. It's such a simple thing to say, but just talking to the young players around them, looking after them. And then we get to 3-0 and you think, yeah, job's done. And then
if this is Man City, this is 7-0.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
If this is 3-0 to Man City, this is 7-0.
I was just going to say, I think, because I've been critical of Harry in the past, I think he's took a massive rap for the last 2 years. And I think mentally he's gone, I'll just do my job. Again, I don't know Harry, it's just my eye looking. I think he's got into that place. They've took the captain's armband off him. And he's like, right, I'll just make sure I do all right. I'm not at fault for anything. And I think there's a few of them like that. And that's not a dig, by the way. That's a genuine, like, just... He's had so much pelters from press and media and even fan base. He's probably gone, I'll just be 7 out of 10 all the time. Mate, I look at Casemiro and I think, you're not arsed, mate. That's what I'm looking at. I just think you're not arsed. Yeah, I see you're not. Fernandes, when things are going great, he's great. He obviously will score. His stats are probably better than he plays sometimes. And then I look at, like, Marcus. I've said it, I don't think he's doing enough to go on the plane, personally.
Yeah.
I think he's going to miss out. And he probably needs a couple of wingers to come in and put that fire up his arse again.
Yeah.
Because it's not money-oriented. We've all got different drivers, haven't we? Some people, some players only play for the money.
Which is fine.
Of course it is.
As long as it's enough of your driver.
It's a driver, absolutely.
Don't think that when, like, a senior pro would ask you or an agent or whatever, or a manager would ask you when you're meeting them, what is your drive?
Yeah.
It could be play football. It could be to win as many things. It could be money. Whatever it is, as long as it's your drive, as long as you get the best out of it, it doesn't matter what it is.
Absolutely.
But like you say, it's different for different people.
Yeah, but I look at Marcus and maybe that driver was his at one point. Maybe he wanted to play for England. But he's done it all. Now I think he needs the... some fresh blood in there that make him go, right, do you really want this? Because he's getting to that. I know he's only young. Well, he's young compared to us. But he's in that space now where if he doesn't kick on, he'll have to move on.
He's at a place as well where he's allowed a little bit of credit for the England team where he can look at his past performance.
Why
and say,
when was the last
I think that's just the way it works. I disagree with it completely. I always think that you have... If you've continually shown week in, week out that you're not putting in the performances, I would take you out of the team, for one. But absolutely, you wouldn't be getting called into the national team either.
And you get it... Sorry to interrupt. I get it when it's like Harry Maguire, because we're short at the back. It's not an area that we're strong at. But if you don't take Marcus Rashford, you've got Jack Grealish who can play there, you've got Foden who can play there, you've got Ollie Watkins who can play there. There's three. You could probably put Madders there if you wanted to. You could potentially put Cole Palmer there if you wanted to. So there's more than enough cover. Do you get what I mean? So it should be a conversation around now where it's going, come on, liven up then.
I think he's at this point where he is. It's a critical point for him where
absolutely,
he could genuinely not get selected to go to the Euros. I went to watch the game yesterday and honestly, the eye test sometimes, you know, sometimes you watch the actual matches on telly or whatever.
The best one.
And you can get a gauge for it and you can see it and you can listen to the commentary. But when you're actually there in the stadium, you get to really watch every little bit.
The
body language, the bits where there were so many times where I thought, you are not going to stick your foot in there. And or just like shutting down, this last little urgent bit of shutting down. I thought, oh, you don't want to do that. You're not interested in doing that. And when it was time to be brought off, I thought, I think you're quite happy here. Mm-hmm. I think you're quite happy to be brought off here. So I think he is at that point now where it's like, you're going to have to make a decision here, Gareth.
Yeah.
A serious, serious decision. Can we just give Cov a little bit of love as well, quickly? Championship team. Yeah. Apparently, there's a stat going around that Marcus Rashford's weekly wage
is
$300,000 a week, Coventry's whole squad weekly wage, $190,000 a week. How much of an impressive performance is that from a championship team, eighth in the championship as well, but watching the game again, the eye test, the heart and the passion and everything. They were giving everything for it. That's how it should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, with a Robin side, that's what you know you're going to get that. Mm-hmm. You know, it filters through from him. I played against him a few times and they're just workhorses and they're a good group, good backing from the fans. You know, it's a club who's had its ups and downs over the last few years, but it looks like now they've got through that. I think last year they could have, obviously they got to the final of the playoffs, but this year could have been could have gone the other way and it could have been a massive decline, fighting relegation. But again, they've gone against the odds, like you say, with the wage bill. It's nowhere near probably in the top half of the championship.
Yeah.
And, they're class. I really like them. I just think they just look like a good group of lads.
Mm-hmm.
which is a shame for the club as well, because realistically, a few of them can go and get headhunted.
Yeah,
but that's what happened last year, wasn't it? So they lost the striker, they lost Rocarez, Hayman's gone as well.
Yeah.
So those boys left, and it should be kind of a rebuild year. And they've still managed to kick on and find some more gems.
Yeah, they brought Sims in.
Yeah, they bought a Hadji.
He was a handful yesterday. Yeah. Absolute handful. He was.
So they've rebuilt, and they've still got a chance of making the playoffs again, because they're a game, if I remember correctly, they're a game behind. And I think they're 6 points off. Norwich.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they got a chance. Yeah.
That was before the weekend. So they're close to still being in a position to actually, if all goes well, they can still just take that last place and get in there.
As well, there's a player that played for Kovia, say Ben Sheaf, central midfield. I think he was captain actually yesterday. Yeah. Lovely player, gliding around. But when it comes to key moments of the game, so we're talking like extra time, and Kov, I felt at times, were dominating. They were the ones with the foot on the ball. They were the ones wanting to do it. And in really difficult little situations, like right in the corners, bits where if it gets cut out and nicked out, you're in trouble. They were still brave enough to really just keep doing it and keep playing the style that they were playing. Really, honestly, impressive performance from Kov. Before we move on then, Ten Hag, what are we saying before the end of the season? Is it going to be curtains for him, do you reckon?
I think so, yeah. I just don't think he can survive all the other changes, personally.
Too much going on above it.
Yeah, I just feel like there's too much going on. But listen, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with the takeover and whatnot. But it just seems like, let's be honest, they get to the final where they're there, and I just don't see him. I don't see him winning at all, if I'm being honest. That could be him.
I think it seems like a bit of a quick fix, and there's a lot of fans saying, oh, he's a disgrace. How can we be free? Ten Hag sacked the manager, and I think he runs a bit deeper though.
It's a bit deeper than that.
It's not going to solve all your problems.
He's always going to be the front runner, isn't he? He's always going to be the man that goes first.
Mm-hmm.
That's how football works, unfortunately, isn't it?
Maybe we've all been there though. On the opposite side to that, a new manager does get a kick instantly.
Yeah.
And if someone comes in, and we don't know this for facts, but if he comes in, rules, regs, do this, maybe Ten Hag's got that, but he's too much on the rules and regs. Because if I was Jadon Sancho, I'd be asking all sorts of questions as to why I'm not there.
You look at United fans as a base, you know, I just think they're going to expect, if he does go, an unbelievable manager. Like,
absolutely.
They're going to want like Ancelotti or someone like that. And
yeah.
They're getting United.
Are they going to get, have they got the pull that they used to have? I don't see it as much at the moment, because you're going in and unless...
Nah, they've still got the pull. They're still Man United.
I think they'll get Ancelotti.
No, they won't
somebody
get...
Somebody like that.
They could get a big boy. I get what you mean. It needs to be a big name with a big personality.
Then, on the flip side, they're going to want to come in and say, listen, you've got me in. I've got changes to make here.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I want, like you said earlier, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 players out.
Absolutely.
And that's a big overhaul to come in.
Massive overhaul coming at Man United. And playing Manchester United in the final then, lads. Man City, this was the Saturday afternoon kickoff against Chelsea. It was a decent game. Man City won 1-0. People kind of expected them to win it. But Chelsea had some massive chances, Troy. And one player in particular, Nicholas Jackson, is getting a bit of dog's abuse for it. What is your take on him and his performance at the weekend?
He's brought the abuse on himself for the way he acted the week before with the penalties.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, you've been around. I like taking penalties, like the next one. But if the gaffer said Alfie's taking pens for that game, Alfie's taking pens.
It's not even a question, is it?
Not at all. You might be cheeky and go like, you've already got a hat trick. Can I get one?
I understand.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's a...
Or you're on 2 goals and you want your hat trick.
Can I have one? But you don't stand there and have a fight and all of that nonsense to get it. And I think it's interesting with him because he looks okay. What I mean by that is he moves well. He does some things in the game. You're like, oh, he's decent. He never looks like he's going to score to me. Never. And I know he's had games where he scored 4 and all of this, but he just, I got look at him going through. I'm like, follow up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've all played with those players. I think if we're comparing him to Lukaku, for example, I'd have Ron back all day long. So I think they've just got into this place where they're just throwing money at it, trying to find the one and not really looking at what they want or what they need.
Yeah.
Like the obvious one is Ivan Toney that everyone's looking for this summer, but he was available last year, probably for a similar price. Just go and get it. You know what you mean? It just winds me up. Like we can all see it. But I think as a striker, he's okay. I think when you go into Chelsea and, you know, you look at Torres struggled, Shevchenko struggled, Higuain struggled. Yeah. big players have got it. There's a lot of expectation at a massive club to go in and be the number nine that scores. But also in the way that they play with that system, you've got to be more of a back-to-goal type player, set it off to Cole Palmer, let him do his thing. Mm. Raheem's probably got to run in behind. Madueke on the other side's probably got to run in behind. So you've got to be more of the link. So you're probably not really going to get many chances, and you can't keep missing the amount that he's missing over the course of this season.
Before we move on and talk a bit more about Chelsea and Man City, just finishing off with the penalty incident last week, right? If you get a chance to watch it back, everybody, because the moment the penalty gets given, right, he picks up the ball and then Madueke's trying to get it off him. And them two at that moment in time, right, it's like nobody else was there.
Yeah, it didn't matter, did it?
There wasn't a billion people watching this guy. There wasn't 70,000 in the stadium. Yeah. There wasn't another 20 players on the pitch, right? They did not care. It was just about them two and about who was taking the penalty. And it was the most selfish thing, right? And I'm watching it thinking, oh, God, I would get in at half-time or full-time and I would just go, what on earth are you doing, you dickheads?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Genuinely, like, we've all played with players like this and I would have liked to have thought it would have kicked off in the dressing room a little bit after that. They've just won 6-0.
Yeah.
Battered them.
I was talking about it.
But it still would have kicked off, wouldn't it?
I heard it before at Fulham when we were playing Huddersfield and it was like it was 0-0 and we were right up against it and we were like, right, we need to beat these relegation rivals and we got a penalty and Abu Bakar Kamara has picked up the ball and obviously Mitro was...
I was about to say, he didn't try to take it off Mitro.
He did. Oh, he did.
Oh, Mitro would have hit him.
No, he took it off him.
Oh, my God.
He took it and he bloody missed. And we were like, and then, you know, Soz Law, ball goes through, Mitro goes and scores the winner. 1-0. Come inside and I swear, like, Ranieri went mad at him. And I was just like, it's one of them things where, like, you know what it is.
I'm really disappointed in Mitro that he let him have it.
Yeah, without doubt.
Oh, he didn't. He hardly let him. He was not letting go. He was a beast as well, Abu. Yeah. Mitro's an animal, but this geezer, he's built differently. And he was like, I ain't letting go of this ball. And I was like, oh, come on, please score then.
To be fair, Mitro's took the higher ground there. He's gone, no problem.
Don't want the theatrics.
Deal with you in there.
And Ranieri, I didn't realise how many languages he spoke. He come in and started speaking to everyone, like in different... And I was just like, what? And he was just going mad. I was buzzing. And I was like, this is great. Like, we've just won and you're going... I was like, whatever. But it's just childish, isn't it? And then, like you say, for it to go on and they're going at it for so long. Mm-hmm. And then, Gallagher to get involved and try and calm it.
You know, the thing is that the flip side to that, sorry to talk about it, is because the guy who's taken it, as someone who's taken penalties for a long time, it's not an easy... moment that I know everyone thinks, oh, it's a penalty, you should score, but you need them 5, 10, 15 seconds to calm yourself down, figure out what you're going to do, figure your steps,
settle down.
And then you've got, like, me and you are going at it and we've had an argument and then I've put it down. It's like having an argument with your missus, like you'll walk into the kitchen, you're still fuming. Do you know what I mean? You just not saying anything, are you? You're like, then you go, you take the penalty, you miss, and now he's going, oh my God, what did he put it over?
What, the penalty?
He put it over Kamara.
Oh, no, he saved it.
He didn't miss it then. Goalie saved it, all right? Hey, Alfie, there's a big difference,
But still, like, going back to the Chelsea one where they seem to have sorted it, Gallagher's calmed them down, Silva stepped in, a senior pro, and I'm just thinking, if someone here, double my age,
a great point.
Thiago Silva's on my shoulder, I'm like, right, that's fine.
You pipe right now, wouldn't you?
But I think that's the thing. Now, anyway, respect has gone because of the way that these younger players are earning a lot of money and all of that. You need to be a certain type of person to talk and respect them. Mm. We won't name names, but there's a few times at Watford we had to take it in turns, didn't we? To like, right, you go speak to him now because I've spoke to him and he's getting chirpy again. Yeah. You go speak to him this time. So I did a bad guy, he did a nice guy. And if it didn't work, then between us, we'd smash them in a training session and deal with it. But the younger players now, they've got everything they want.
It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got the money, they've got the cars, they're playing the first team. By the way, biggest thing, they know they're good.
Mm.
So why do I need to listen to Troy and Alfie or Ben? Because they're on the way out.
As lads who have played a lot of football, you've been around it for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Genuine question, honest, genuine question, right? Boil it down for me. Is giving these young players too much of a long contract, too much money at that age, does it detract from their football? Does it make them lose that hunger? Does it change them in a bad sense?
I think it just boils down to the person. It's easy to say, yeah, it will change. It will change you in so many ways. I don't think as a person, but it will make life easier. You might then take your foot off the gas, yeah. But in the same token, you might then be like, right, I'm sorted now. I'm just going to go and be the best footballer I can be. But at the end of the day, if someone come up to you and you're 19, 20, and they said to you, yeah, here's a 6-year deal, and you're 100 grand, you're going to be like, yeah, sweet. You're going to snap the round off, aren't you? So I feel like as football fans, we look at them.
Didn't you get that go to Fulham?
Hey, I wish. but I think it might take away the hunger.
Yeah.
But again, if you've got it in you, like we said, like whatever your reason is to be the best player you can be, that's got to be your thing. Money aside.
So. Yeah, I have a similar take, if you get what I mean. So I think, yes, you're going to take the money, but I also think you lose that hunger. I also think a lot of these lads have come out and said it openly that football isn't their love.
Mm.
They've been in the system so long that they don't love football, they don't watch football. So you do have to be careful of giving out these long contracts, because if that's not your passion, and your passion's fashion, let's say,
yeah,
and you've got all this money now, you know you're secure from a football point of view, your eyes are just slightly going to go here. Maybe it's 5%. And listen, you're talking to two people that have been doing media while playing. Mm. How many times is it labelled at you? Oh, you're not worried about your football. You're worried about this, yeah. And vice versa. It's like, no, it isn't that, because we love football. But if you're not your passion and it is not a real love of yours, and you're one eye over here, you end up like Jesse a little bit.
Yeah.
And Jesse's been lambasted as he has not been really cared about football, but we know he does. But now he's out in South Korea.
I think if you lose that, I think the word is hunger. I think if you lose that hunger, and I think even if it's 2%, I think the difference between top of your game where you can do all sorts and you're justifying all them wages, 2% drop is the difference between that and seeing what you see for Chelsea at the minute.
You're not talking big 10, 20% drops. You're talking 1% and 2%. And the difference is a Jordan Henderson, James Milner type, that money's never a motive. Yeah. It's just, I want to be this every single day. I'm going to absolutely beat you. And then, you know, the different lads that you've got at the moment are a little bit more, you know, life's good. How many cars can I buy and all of that?
Instagram heroes.
You said it.
Instagram heroes. quickly, though, let's talk about Man City. Theo Walcott said after the Arsenal game, I think it was the other day, that he can start to see a few little cracks in Man City. Not quite the machine that they're used to being. I don't know how much I agree with that. They still won the game 1-0, which, again, was kind of inevitable. You expect them to get over the line and do it, don't you? But do you see any problem with Man City at the moment in time, or can you see them just steamrolling it now until the end of the season?
All they've done is they lost to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Like,
and they battered them. Battered them as well.
When you start to say the cracks in it, they won the treble last year and they were phenomenal. I got asked a question the other day about Haaland. He's only on 22 goals. I'm like, did you hear what you just said? Like, we had 50 last year. Yeah, well, because last year they absolutely romped everyone. This year, everyone's become a little bit more cute to the way that they're doing it, because I think the only thing I would say about City is they've got to stop the stand-up ball to the back post. So you know they do go wide, they get the 8 runners in behind, get to the byline, where it used to be flashed across the front. Because they've got Haaland now, they stand it.
Yeah.
And everyone now is clocked on and going...
It's easier to defend.
Yeah, they're all going, we'll deal with that one.
It's easier to defend.
That would be one thing I see that could probably change. And then secondly, they've played so many games over the last, 18, 20 months with the World Cup and all of that. Mate, they're knackered. And they've got some of them have got a Euros. It's, you know what I mean? It's these boys, it's just constant football. And the crack he's talking about is like a hairline fracture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone's still cracking on. No one, there's nothing to worry about. And if they're having a wobble and Arsenal, Liverpool still can't catch them, well, we're going to be screwed next year when they get it all together, don't we?
And they've got a bit of rest in their legs.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I think, I like Theo. He's a nice guy. He's doing well, but he's talking a bit of nonsense there.
If a wobble's getting beat by Madrid, then...
We're all done.
Yeah,
that's fine. right, lads, we're going to talk about FA Cup replays being scrapped in a minute. Before we do, I saw something on Instagram this morning, right? I was on my way into work. I wasn't driving, so don't worry about it. but there was a former footballer, I can't remember his name. If you guys know, get in the comments down below. But he's talking about Erling Haaland, right? And he's had a few of these little things where he's going on, not a rant, but he's saying... Footballers back in the day are more gifted than what they are now. Nowadays, football is too mechanical, it's too robotic, you're playing a system, blah, blah, blah. But one I saw this morning was about Erling Haaland, and defenders back in the day, basically, he mentioned about 20 years ago, basically, said that Erling Haaland would not score the goals that he is scoring in today's football back then, because back then, defenders knew how to defend. They were physical, they were big, they were strong. And if you look at some of the defenders that Haaland struggles against, mm-hmm. Saliba, your Gabriels, your Virgil van Dijk, and I'll even throw Craig Dawson in there, actually, because I've seen a one-on-one by Craig Dawson on Erling Haaland, and honestly, he had him in his pocket. He was mm-hmm. incredible that game. What do you think of that? Striker's point of view, defender's point of view.
Whose point of view do you want first?
Go for it.
Yeah, so I think it's very easy to say 20 years ago. It's very easy to be bitter and look, oh, we had it harder. It's not like this now because the rules have changed. I think it works both ways. So when Arsenal played against Man City, they deny all the space behind him. That's what Haaland wants. He wants to run him hard. He's not a great back-to-goal player. That's not a dig at him. He's fantastic at so many things, but can't have everything. Yeah. If he did have everything, there'd be no point playing against him. I think physically he's getting better. I've started to see him now like really put the shoulders and arms out. When you're playing up against people like him, they're coming from behind and they're like elbows in. They're trying to knock you off balance before the ball comes in. Fair? You're watching that. As it comes, you're trying to knock. He's trying to knock me off balance.
Why is he trying to knock you off balance?
So because then your touch is all over the place. Yeah, okay. As it's coming in, you're taking it down here. Whereas as strikers, we want it there because we're in control. We can still see what's going on.
And you're stronger.
Yeah, you're stronger. But it's bouncing off your chest and then it's your second touch out. If you're taking it down in this position, you're always like falling and chasing after the ball. And that's what they want to do. They want to knock you on. So they can defend. So the one in front can get it.
Defend yourself.
Yeah, so the six in front can get onto your toes and take the ball off you. I think where he is currently, he's learning that side of the game. But as we said in the previous part, I think City are now being found out a little bit in that with Haaland, they want to try and kill you that way. Whereas beforehand, with Aguero and people like that, they'd come shorter. Link. You go, right, I think we've got a chance here. Press, and then you go, bang. It's round the corner.
Flashbacks are unreal. It's horrible.
You did think there were certain times in the game, you'd be like 4-0 down, by the way, as we've all know. 4-0 down, thinking, you know what, we got him here. And as you go to press, you just go, boom, boom, goal. What happened there? FA Cup final, mate. Remember, we had a good we had a good first half and we were 2-0 down. We're like, what
finish
happened?
At seven.
Yeah.
What happened? Pop it and they work you to death and they pull you out of shape.
You're in there like, oh, we've got this, we've got a chance, and they get close to them and then they put it in by. I just don't think at a minute it's a transition for them in terms of finding out with Haaland anyway. And I saw a great Thierry Henry clip about him. I think it's with CBS where he's saying that Wenger told him he has to start learning the players, not the players learning Henry, because Henry knew, I don't know, Pires had the ball, he did this. But if Bergkamp had the ball, he did that. And I think that part's true. He knows when Kevin De Bruyne's got the ball, he can run where he wants because Kevin can do every pass. Mm-hmm. Phil probably is looking to get a shot off first and then a slip pass. Mm. Do you get what I mean? Yeah, so he's got to start learning other people. I think, what is he, 23?
Yeah, it's frightening.
23? Mate, if he's got it all cracked at 23, then it's a waste of time. He's got loads of learning. He's fantastic and he'll only get better and got out the rest of us.
So to answer the question then, as football evolved,
he would run all over Tony Adams, Sol Campbell. But listen,
that's not even disrespectful.
It's
that's
not.
Just,
they're just they're
that's the way the game is now.
Yeah, they were big physical players who played with some great players. But the games move forward, the pitches are better.
Not quick. Everyone how runs much quicker is it, lads?
That's what I mean. Everyone runs just quicker.
Everyone's an athlete.
And they that's the bit I try to explain to people. You can't explain it from Sunday League to conference is a chasm. From conference to league two, top end of league two is a chasm. From league two to the champ is even bigger. And then from the middle of the champ to the top of the champ is huge.
Right, then.
And then you go to that even bigger step is getting into the Prem.
Well, you look like last
it's
year.
It's a joke.
Burnley, top bit of the Prem.
Oh.
Burnley last year in the champ, like comfortable, playing lovely football.
Yeah.
And they come up and it's...
Mate,
I always said it. Everyone used to say, oh, yeah, like the difference between League One and the Champs, the biggest. And I'm like, okay. And then when you get to the Prem, you're like.
But everyone who said that never played in the Prem.
Yeah, because you're like, nah. Yeah.
Isn't it? Everyone who's got an opinion about how good or bad something is has never played in that league.
And when you actually play in it and you see it up close and personal about how quick they are, the athletes nowadays, left back, right back.
Remember Darryl Young, Matt?
Yeah.
Monster, wasn't he? Monster. Used to call him the horse, mate. The biggest car I've ever seen, the right back. Could run, could move, was great. whenever we played a good winger, I was talking about this before, you remember, we used to play stickman on the bus. He'd get in his own head so much, didn't he? If we were playing, like, I don't know, let's play Man City, Raheem, he'd be asking the ball, Raheem's good, isn't he?
What do you know about Raheem? What's he like with England?
And you're like, what do you mean? And then you'd go and watch it and you'd be like, oh, that's right. Because he's played in the semi-final of the World Cup for Holland and he knows there's a level that he can't get to physically. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? And that just shows how good it is. Everyone, you might have a good day or a bad day, but you can't compete with these top boys. They're just too good.
Physically, just everything, technically,
and they do it. By the way, we play them twice a year, maybe three if we're lucky.
That's it.
So we go. How many games have you played? You go, this ain't our game to win. It's a free hit. We've got to worry about Palace the week after, or we've got to worry about Fulham the week after.
Yeah. This is damn. It's sad. I know you've probably gone into games like it, but we've gone into games where it's like damaged imitations.
Absolutely.
I remember we played City at Swansea under Carlos Carvajal, and we got done, I think it was 6-0 away. They'd won that, we give them a guard of honour. We come in after the game, and the gaffer's come in, and like, what a guy he was. He was led. Come in, he pulled out a piece of paper, and it was like about this big, like an A4 piece of paper. And he went, Man City, Arsenal, 3-0. And he just read off all the results. So like, Man City, Watford, 4-0. Man City, Swansea, 5-0. Swansea, Man City. And we were just like, he goes, these are machines. Said, I don't care. Next game finished.
This isn't an out of the
norm. Let's fly home. Yeah.
This is what they do.
But we thought we're going to get some sort of powers because, like, even though they're City, we still weren't like.
Our first year in the Prem, before Fozzie came, we had me and Igalo up front. We did quite well. Iggy played left wing. I played right wing against Man City. Our first game.
Even worry about scoring goals today, lads.
Don't worry about it. Troy, you're right wing. He's left wing. That was it. We just put him in. We went 4-6.
We didn't have anyone.
That's unreal. Watch it back. We had like a little Spanish winger. It was like a 7-8 Gerardo. He was all right. Technically, he was nice, but he was a luxury. And we just stuck him at the top. Mate, he was at the 10, and it was like Caps, Barami, and I want to say Ben Watson were the three. Iggy on the left, me on the right, and him as like a 10.
What did that game finish?
6-0. Didn't matter what you did, mate. I don't think I've played at Etihad and lost anything less.
Oh, I said to Beth the other day, my aggregate was like, I think it was 18 or 19-1.
Yeah. It's a good one, though, isn't it?
I can't do nothing. Yeah, we got a goal, yeah.
Oh, lads, this is incredible. What an episode this is today. This is completely different to our normal football. This is world class. Honestly, it's absolutely world class. Right, I mentioned it a minute ago. FA Cup replays have been scrapped, lads. I, for one, disagree with them. I don't like it. I think this is the magic of the Cup. The smaller teams getting their big payday, the big outing for the fans, for everything, where they get that team, they might get them to a replay. That's the bit where they make all the big money from. Yeah. And the FA... Alfie, out of nowhere, have kind of just gone, no, we're not doing that anymore.
What I don't like is now, I understand it's cool because you get to go to Wembley, but Wembley used to be a thing where you got to a final.
Yeah.
And obviously, take away when Tottenham used it as their you know, Premier League for a little while, you're playing big, big games. Mm. And obviously, the FA Cup is massive, but I still think, like you say, two legs, one at yours, for your revenue, especially if you're a smaller club, and then you get to go to another big club, say like Coventry would have gone to Old Trafford. Some players would never play there, some may never play there, and then you go, right, we get through this, then we're at Wembley. And now it's just like City must get sick of playing there all the time.
Six or seven
even
times
Chelsea like, the last
home, yeah. Essentially, yeah.
I think it just takes away, it does take away for me a little bit of the magic of the FA Cup.
I think it's just, they've just paid for it. They've paid for one less game.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. Because I think personally, and again, I don't know how it all worked, but they should keep the replays up until the third round. And what I mean by that is, a lot of the lesser teams will not get past the third round.
They'll get an away day though, yeah.
Yeah, they'll still get an away day. They'll still get a massive amount of money. And what did they pay? Like 33 million down the pyramid? And it's like, well, where does that stop? Like, where's the cut-off? Mm. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And it might be, what, 200 grand for a team? Which is great for that team, but it's not going to change their landscape or be historical. But you was at Racing Club Warwick. Mm. I was at Hales Owen. Hales Owen got to, like, they made it to the FA Cup.
Oh, proper. Massive. How big is it?
And it changed everything for them. Changed everything for them. They went out in the first round, no problem. It's massive, but it's a payday, it was huge. Yeah. It was huge. And like you said, some of them lads will never play at that level. Some of them lads will never get to the heights that we were fortunate enough to go. But that memory lives with them.
Yeah.
The fan base lives with them. And I just think it's big wigs, and I think it's ignorant from us to just be like, ah, don't worry about them. Because, you know, the big boys, they play too much. But no one's stopping the pre-season tours, are they?
And
when
the
they go to Australia.
Post-season tours, mate.
Going everywhere. So,
have you seen you might have seen them on TikTok and that. You know Dorking Wanderers?
Yeah.
Obviously took them through all sorts. I watched them.
What a legend is,
bro. Of one of his, literally about 2 months ago. It's probably an older clip, but from this season, about the FA Cup and that. And he's come in, and he spoke to the lads, and obviously they got cameras, and he said, listen, it's worth this. He said, listen, it's worth a lot of money to us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because he funds it all. And then they get beaten, and he comes out and he's just like, I wasn't bothered about the actual match. He said, but what this would have done for the club would have been massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would have pushed towards us ultimately staying up. Big clubs and fans of big clubs don't realise the drip-down effect it does have. Like, the money for a non-league side to draw a League 2 side even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one league, but still.
I think it was Cambridge a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago or something, had a cut run, got third, fourth round or something like that. Apparently it made them, the money they made from that cut run was equivalent to 2 years' revenue.
Absolutely.
What they would make just being in their League 2 or League 1 or whatever they was. That's the bit for me that I was saying, nah, this is bang out of order. And going back to something you said a minute ago, actually, I think is what they could have done better is only allow replays if it's against a lower opposition. So if it's a Prem v Prem, scrap the replay. There's no replay possible, right?
Yep.
Because nobody really wants a replay when you're Prem v Prem. Mm-hmm. But if it's against a lower opposition, if it's a Man United versus a Stockport or something, and that goes to the original tie ends in a draw, then it's a replay.
Yeah.
Then it's a replay. But if it's Prem v Prem, cool. No, that would make then the bigger boys
just have the draw. And let's say it was it Newport versus Man United season. You could just make that now at Old Trafford.
Have to be. Yeah.
And then it's 50-50 split. You know what I mean? They still get it's a much bigger gate for them and the return.
Totally agree.
But Newport selling out thingy, I suspect, it's not going to touch anywhere near
Porter Ford. And I just found, like, for me personally, throughout all my career, my proudest moment was walking out the FA Cup final. Yes, we got dicked and all of that fun stuff, but being able to walk out, that's the stuff you played outside your garages.
Mm.
Like, FA Cup final and Wembley and all of that
Wembley
stuff.
Singles,
you know what I mean? So being able to walk out and then introduce royalty to all my lads, all my mates, go, here you go.
Yeah.
This is Ben Foster. This is Etienne Capoue. You start going down the line, you're just like, mate, my nan got to see that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's my most proudest moment. And for some people, that may never happen just because
that's a really good shout. I totally agree with that, actually. Because if, say, Man United draw Newport, right? Yeah. Every single Newport fan wants an away day at Old Trafford. Every player on that pitch wants to be playing at Old Trafford. So even if Newport get drawn at home, reverse the tie, play it at Man United, everybody's a winner. They can have it on the telly. Man United have got it's everywhere.
And also as well, people don't realise that it's compensated, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the travel for that away day is looked after by the FA anyway. So there's no cost to Newport or the lesser team in this situation.
I think we just need to be doing everything we can to look after the smaller teams. Mate, we have to do everything we can.
Next year in the Champ, there's going to be about 8 teams that were normally big teams that are going to be financially ruined.
Yeah, ruined.
And it's going to just keep trickling down. And before you know it, we'll end up with a Super League before we know it. And it's just going to be a waste of time. And it's really, really, really disappointing. And I think we've got to protect it at all costs.
Totally agree. Right, let's get on to a little bit of Premier League talk, all right? How long have we gone? About 40 minutes. We haven't even spoke about the Premier League yet.
Sorry.
We'll quickly talk about Arsenal and Liverpool, both bouncing back after really disappointing defeats. With a couple of good wins, to be fair. Arsenal against Wolves, comprehensive, always looked in control. Liverpool, that's a good win against Fulham as well. The title race is back on, at least, isn't it, for the meanwhile?
Yeah. I still think Liverpool win it. I know it's a very wild thing to say, but I said it about 5-6 weeks ago. And as soon as I said it, everyone got injured. So I thought, oh, God, here we go. That's a really bad take. But I just feel like they're getting everyone back fit now. Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
And I know everyone's going to go, oh yeah, but everyone's out of the Champions League, so it's all fair. But Trent hasn't played for a while. He's not going to feel it in his legs anymore. Jota, all of those players have all started to come back. They've still got Thiago potentially to come back in. I think that, I just think they're the ones now when you go, oh, they can catch up. I think the more pressure is on Arsenal and City.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
I think the pressure on Arsenal will... could be a strong thing saying it. I think most of that pressure will be coming from... Obviously, fans expect now them to be right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Arteta puts a lot of pressure because of what he's been around. Yeah. So since he's been, you know, number two to Pep, he knows what it takes to win. He obviously, he knows what it takes off the pitch, on the pitch, all of that. And now he expects it of Arsenal. And he's probably saying to them, listen, this is what it takes to win. You need to copy this and you need to go beyond it. If we slip up, then they're going to come through. I think Trent sort of played the game yesterday as well, before the game, saying, you know, like, if you give City this opportunity, nine times out of ten, they take it. Yeah. And I heard it on the radio this morning. They were speaking about, you know, does he really believe that? And it's like, well, you can look at that two ways. You can look at it as if to say, yeah, he knows. And we all know how good City are in this position. If you give give them the, you know, the top spot, rarely do they relinquish it. And then again, is he going, yeah, right, we've got to try. I've got to try something here, you know, pop this in their head. Maybe just like you said earlier, is there a crack in the arm?
Hopefully
maybe,
they can take their eye off the ball a little bit or something.
Yeah.
Here's a question I've got. I know it's your show, sorry, mate.
Love this. It's nice.
When does Arteta come under pressure?
Whoa, yeah, this is a really
good one. It's a good question.
It's a very good question.
Because what I mean by that is, if you finish second again, it's great, but the amount of money spent, and there's no doubt he's moved Arsenal tenfold forward, but at what point does the expectation come, we have to win something? Is it this year? Is it next? Or is it 5 years' time?
Or obviously he's won, did he win two FA Cups or just one with them?
Just one, but it was at the end of the Emery year, wasn't it?
So they said it
kind of is.
Oh yeah, it was COVID, wasn't it? Yeah, against Chelsea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you've got, he won the Community Shield last year, but with all due respect, that's just...
That don't count.
A winner versus...
I don't count.
Yeah. That's a game we could get rid of.
Yeah,
if you want to talk about replays, get rid of that one.
Yeah.
No one watched it anyway.
Nope.
And you look at that and you think...
Play golf.
They're not... They haven't got anywhere near... Obviously, they got beat the other night by Bayern. You've still lost.
But it's not a genuine question. I'm genuinely interested.
I like it. I heard you on TalkSport talk about this, which I thought you were world-class on, by the way.
My God.
And I'm with you. I totally agree. But the only thing I would say about it is that you've still got Man City, who are probably still so far ahead of everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think they are. They're still so far ahead of everybody else. So I think it's so hard to win something nowadays.
Yeah.
So hard that there's no shame in not winning. But I could understand if he got sacked because they didn't win anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still think whoever comes and replaces is going to find it just as hard.
Because the conversation I have with like Arsenal fans that I know is like, they're like, oh, we're missing a striker. Once we get the striker, that'll be fine. I'm like, okay, cool. So let's say Ivan Toney or Ollie Watkins or Solanke, you go and get this striker, and it costs you 100 million. You still proved the other day you're not happy with your left backs.
Yeah.
You played Tomiyasu left back in the second leg.
Yeah.
So now you need another left back. Then you probably need some help for Saka because he can't keep playing every minute of every game.
Be knackered, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Then you've got to balance the books.
Mm.
So when I looked at the bench against Bayern, it was like Reece Nelson, El Mohammedi, people like this, Partey, who are obviously good players, but they're not improving them because they're not coming on.
Yeah.
So you've got to get rid of all of them. So now you lose your squad depth. It's very... There's always going to be an excuse as to why they haven't caught up with City.
To buy a player to improve a Man City,
looking at
bench, or Arsenal...
Look at 100
mil.
On the pitch, it's 100 mil.
Yeah.
To improve the bench is still 50 mil.
Yeah.
Newcastle have just bought that lad from Chelsea for 35 million quid.
The left back.
He's played what? How many games in his career?
But 13 for Newcastle this season.
This is the difference. This is how much money is in football nowadays. That they're paying 35 million quid. You could go and get an Ivan Toney for what? 80 mil maybe?
Last year, I reckon this year...
A bit more, maybe.
Cost you, you're looking more towards the 90 to 100, I think.
He's got a year left.
But it's a guarantee, yeah?
Yeah, but I think they know they're going to sell him. So because they know he's going to be sold, Arsenal want him, Chelsea want him, United potentially want him. Do you know what I mean?
I just think sometimes, though, when you've got a guarantee player that's going to be there every game, he's going to be fit, and he's going to score you goals, just go and pay the money.
But even on that, I think now... Because he's got personality. Because he'll say something back. I don't think people want him. I think when I look at Arsenal, and again, it's not really an Arsenal segment, but when I look at Arsenal, I think Arteta wants a certain type of player.
Yeah, okay.
He wants someone that falls into line, runs hard, does all of this. Yeah. And I'm thinking, does he have to bend a little bit and hope that he's got enough good bodies around that you can put an Ivan Toney in it and you lot will manage it, you lot will police it. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? And I think that's the crossroads where Arsenal are at now.
Let's not beat about. He's the big fish at Brentford.
Of course he is,
the man. And rightly so, he is the man. And
mate, we've all been there. It's nice being there, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's nice being that big fish.
Feed a fat. Oh, yeah. Lovely, that.
He goes to Arsenal. Is he... You're paying that as much money as we reckon it will be worth, and what in this market he would be worth. Does he then go in as the man?
He warrants knowing Ivan the way I do.
Warrants
Ivan
it.
Walks his big shoulders out and goes, let's have it. Same way he does when he's at England.
Yeah, I think the way he conducts himself at England is a bit familiar. I think, well, you're obviously cut out for it then. You're cut out for this.
And he's not, Ivan's really confident, probably borderline arrogant, but he's not a dickhead.
Yeah.
He's not an arsehole.
You look at top pros that like that.
Yeah.
Like the players who have got there.
Very, very thin line.
They know they're the bollocks. And they're not like, you look at Messi. There's no way that man doesn't know he's the best player to like ever kick a football.
Yeah. He just keeps it under control and doesn't really let it out, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, with it.
Right, a little bit more Premier League talk. First, we've got to talk about what's going on in Notts Forest, lads. Did you see this? What on earth is going on? Is this the most emotional chairman response to a defeat you've ever seen in your life, by the way? The chairman of Nottingham Forest, obviously.
They're
very disappointed. There were three penalty shouts, which I've looked at, and they are kind of 50-50 shouts, maybe even a bit more.
They're a bit more.
I think
one, but...
This is spoken like true defenders.
You would feel very disappointed if you didn't get one of these three.
Mate, we've all been in relegation scraps, right?
Yeah.
If they were going against
you're absolutely fuming. So anyway, let me read the Nottingham Forest tweet. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. This is crazy.
That's the most Sunday League thing you've ever
heard. I think he's got
his Luton fan.
I think he's
so he's not going to do his job properly.
His fingers on the send button. His fingers on the send button, right? And he's going, shall I do it? Shall I do it? I want to do it.
He's got his Luton mates in the group chat going, don't you dare. it's not worth it. I can't show my face in the boozer.
Oh, God.
It's terrible.
But I thought the first one was questionable, where Young is kicked Reina's left foot. You could give that, you could not give
without
that.
Without doubt.
I thought the way the handball is now, that's a handball.
It's a handball. It is.
And, but the last one, mate.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's
and honestly, I would be genuinely like kicking off. As a player, I probably would have got sent off at that point. Because there's no point. Mate, I'm in front of the defender. I'm going in 1v1. The ball goes that way and I go down and somehow nothing. He won the ball.
And they checked all of these, by the way. They checked all of them.
Morning, he didn't see the handball, though, apparently.
So they didn't even check for the handball?
No, he didn't have any visual of what may have gone.
But I'm sure this is VAR steps in and goes, hold on a minute.
We need to go and have a look at that.
Just have a look. You might think, yes, nothing. You have to send them to the screen.
Let's be totally honest as well. We talk about generations with footballers. And it's the same with refs.
Yeah.
The refereeing over the last 10 years has got worse.
Do you feel like an I don't know if it's the right word, but like an ego off of referees now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like,
best refs that we had, you
went
never
under
did.
The radar.
You didn't even know they were there.
They like to be centre of attention.
Yeah.
These
of course
people,
did, yeah.
Don't they?
I've heard, like, you see, and I'm me. Like, your point. I'm like, if you're stood there, he's like, don't point at me like that. Come on, like, I've made a foul. Like,
the best refs I always had. You like as you do, you go, F off, ref, come on, like, you know, is it? And he'd turn around and go, F off to you, and you'd be like, oh, yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong, you should never swear at each other, but he'd just put you straight back in your place and go, yeah, no problem. These refs now, it's like, they want the camera to pan onto them.
Oh, they're on touch.
They're all getting their fresh trim before. You know when you set back players, when players want to get their fresh trim? Mate, I remember, I won't say his name, because he's a nice geezer, but as a ref, he's a helmet, but walking in with wash bags.
Yeah.
Referee,
where were they? Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
Where they?
And slides, mate. You go in. Remember, you used to go in and speak to them before.
They're always
they had
like
the sliders on and all that. Giving you 10, and you're like, you're a ref.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares. No one in this whole building has come to see you. With the greatest respect, you do a fantastic job. Be like a traffic warden. Like, we need her, but no one cares
no one
if they
really
exist or not.
Does everybody know at home as well that for every game they get assigned a masseur as well? I don't think people understand this. They get a masseur assigned from the home football club.
Yeah.
And they have to send a masseur in to give the 3-4 referees whatever they need, basically.
The fourth official as well.
Just in case
they get called on. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Mate,
you know, we've all heard it, like the game's gone. That might be the worst thing I've ever heard, isn't it? What does the fourth official need a report? Just stand still.
I don't know when I first heard it. I don't know where I was playing, but they were like, yeah, who's doing it today? And I was like, but we're getting our rubs before game. I've got it today. I've got to go and rub thingy. And I was like,
yeah.
I thought it was banner.
But you know, when you're looking at it, and what annoys me, and I've said this before, and you can attest this, and you'll know exactly, he'll go on the defensive, but you'll know exactly what I mean. Referees are like goalkeepers. They never slag each other off. So if a goalkeeper, right?
You've got your own union, I get that. Goes through
his hands and it goes in, it'll be like, yeah, but someone should have stopped him.
The ball moved, mate. The ball moved.
Someone should have stopped him from crossing it. And it's like, no, but you let it in. And a referee will never go, do you know what? Alfie's had a mare there as a ref.
They'll be like, well, you know, they don't really do this.
And it is happening so fast that he has got a difficult job. It's like, no, but he messed up.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's the Howard Webb thing, isn't it? It's that Howard Webb thing he does with Michael Owen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the most blatant, horrible mistake in Howard Webb's defending. You're thinking, please don't. Sometimes just go,
we cocked up.
But that's cool. But it happens.
That's the thing, though. But if they come out and went, do you know what? Looking back on that, we've had a stinker.
And they get loads of respect, wouldn't they?
Of course they would. Yeah. But do you know what annoys me one more bit with them? This same ref now, was it Atwell, was it?
Yeah.
He'll get a Prem game.
He'll go and get another game, yeah.
Yeah, he will.
And or if they've got one coming up from like from the lower leagues who's they're trying to get a Prem, they'll go and stick him at like Palace versus Burnley.
Oh yeah, I know.
They'll never stick him at like Man
United. Like it's more less important than giving him a big one.
It's embarrassing, mate.
Right. Well, I think we all agree. We have got a little bit of sympathy for Forrest on the pitch. The tweet, obviously, very ill-advised. And
is it Clattenburg who's advising them?
Can we just talk about Mark Clattenburg, by the way, lads? What on earth is going on here? Mark Clattenburg is employed by Nottingham Forest to be the guy that oversees referees' decisions and then feeds it back to the clubs and explains it to them. And he's got to be party to this message. He has to. And I think he's even come out today as well just said it's a disgrace. It's an absolute shambles, really. Gary Neville was so outspoken. I don't know if you've
he's got to stand him.
Basically said, Mark, you need to step down. You cannot be associated with this kind of message saying that referees are kind of like cheating, basically. You can't be associated with that. You need to step down right now, which is wow. Wow.
Did you ever think there'd be a day where a proven referee now employed by a Premier League
club... He was the best
in
the world at one point.
Exactly, yeah. Got Champions League title on his calf here, lads.
Like, did you ever think that would happen?
Incredible. Right, before we get to the quiz, lads, which is coming up imminently. It's imminent. This is a fantastic episode today, by the way. We just got to talk about Burnley. Fantastic win at the weekend. Absolutely battered Sheffield United. The week before, rewind, if they would have held on for the last few minutes, got a win as well, they would have been right within touching distance of it. As it stands, 3 points behind Nottingham Forest. They have got a better goal difference, though. Can Burnley do it?
Joe, I want them to do it. Because I really like what Vinny's done, where he's stuck with his principles. Don't get me wrong, at times, I've questioned it and been like, come on, like go a bit longer, do this, do that. But he's stuck to his principles and it is coming out the other way and it's starting to work. I think it'd be great for the Premier League if they stayed up. Do you get what I mean? If all three teams come up and then all three teams go down, it's a bit like, what's the point? Yeah. Adds more credence to that Super League type stuff. But they've probably been the more entertaining of all of the teams. I know Luton fans will go, oh, but we give you good games. Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, when Luton lose 5-1 to Brentford, no one was like, oh.
I think a lot of people root for Luton as well, though.
Of course.
They're the Bournemouth story, aren't they?
Yeah. But before.
Yeah.
Small ground, very tight. And they've done really well at robbing the team. They've done fantastically well. Even as a Watford man, I could give them credit.
Yeah, true that.
But I think they're just going to fall short in terms of the quality.
Yeah.
I think Burnley have got a little bit of a chance. And Forest now, they're not getting a decision now.
Yeah.
You can't do stuff like that and go, oh, why are we getting penalties? Well, because you've just called us all, you know what? Do you know what I mean? So they're gonna be done. I think Forest are gonna have to win their games now.
We'll look at the remaining fixtures as well. Man United away, Newcastle at home, Spurs away, and then Forest on the last day of the season for Burnley.
Could be done before then though, couldn't it?
You reckon?
It could be. It depends what Forest do.
Well, United away, if there's a time to play them, it would be
now.
True that. Newcastle's a tough place to go. Spurs, yeah. Well, it's at home, isn't it? But
weirdly, the only two you'd expect them to get some results from would be, if you had to pick now, you'd go United and Forest.
Yeah, you would.
Exactly. Spurs will give you a chance because of that high line. Yeah.
Spurs have got their 6 points off Villa, don't they?
Yeah,
they've got.
But they're going for it.
Yeah. So they need
Newcastle that. Are getting everybody fit, and I feel like Eddie has to have a good end to the season if he wants to still be there next year. Not that he's done anything wrong, just, excuse me, I think that their financial money and expectation is going to all change now.
All right, then quick bottom three before we move on to the quiz. Sheffield United, we're agreed, are probably already done.
Yeah, they're Robbie.
And then the remaining two are going to be?
I actually don't see it. It might flitter, but I do think the three now are going to be the three.
Which would be Burnley and Luton?
Yeah. I don't know how, it might be Burnley team, yeah. But I just feel like, you know, the gap's there.
I agree with you, like 90%, but there's a bit of me that just says all this at Forest isn't good. So they've obviously had the points deduction. They've got the noise now with the refs, rightly so as well, but that's too much of a distraction. Yeah. I think they're just going to slip in.
So who do you reckon is going to come
up? I think...
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, he's a toss-up between Luton. I think Luton got Wolves the weekend. They could go and get a result there. I'm going to go Burnley just stay up. But if I had to go mortgage and that on the line, I'm going their bottom three.
Still. Well, you ain't got any of them. What's he talking about?
You just heard that. Mortgage, you don't even know what that is.
He's not bothered about saying it.
Oh gosh,
world class, absolutely world class. Chris, time. Right, boys, quiz time. I am the reigning champion, so there's no shame in defeat. But good luck. Let's go.
Okay, question one. Who was the last Premier League player to reach the milestone of 150 Premier League goals?
Oh, wow. Aguero?
No.
Defoe?
No.
Damn, it's closer than that. It's newer than that. It wouldn't be Kane, would it?
No, it's not Kane. Yeah. It's Son.
Son.
150 Prem goals?
Yeah.
Goals, yeah.
I knew it was closer than
that. It's okay.
Yeah.
My knowledge here is going to be awful, by the way.
I didn't know what we were doing. I thought it was like a question each.
Yeah, look at
Ozzy
up and see him. Yeah.
Do you want to explain the rules?
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. We're in now.
They obviously don't watch a lot of the football. It's fastest finger first, boys. But if you get the answer wrong, then you're out the question, okay?
Ah, okay.
Oh, so you can keep going?
No, you can't keep going.
You can't keep going. Yeah, you just said that, yeah.
That's why we just set her off. Edit, kick it.
Edit.
Don't think too much.
Question two. Who is currently the only Italian manager in the Premier League? Who is currently the only Italian manager in the Premier League?
Poor lads.
It's a great question. I'm trying to go through. I want to
Bournemouth say, manager, yeah. Araoni.
No.
No, he's Spanish.
No.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Spanish, yep.
I think it's a trick question. I really do. Just... I want to go very rogue here, but it's not deserving, is it?
It's deserving.
Yes.
Deserving.
Yeah, because yes. I'm guest.
That's why I... No, because I was...
Yeah, nice.
You're guessing it.
I was in there and I was thinking the name's a bit dodgy, but yeah.
Yeah, deserving. The answer, 1-0 to Troy.
Patrick's Argentinian, yeah.
Yeah. Question three. Who was the captain for Aston Villa in the 2007-08 season?
Malberg.
Nope.
Oh, no, it's your... Oh, no, it is.
No, you can't... Don't say it.
Oh, Troy.
Milner.
Nope.
No.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Yeah.
I ain't got a clue. I don't even know if he was there. I was going to say Dunn.
No.
Barry?
Gareth Barry.
Dunn!
Gary.
Gaz Baz.
Yeah. That's bad, Troy. That's so bad. I knew that as well. Sorry, Gaz.
Who did you say?
Malberg.
Oh, I love Malberg. It's a good shout, though.
So 1-0 Troy still. Question four. Nicholas Jackson joined Chelsea this season for £30 million. But what team did he come from?
Villarreal
is the correct answer.
I couldn't have told you the answer to that.
I didn't even know it was £30 million.
Oh,
hey,
it's
been good having Alfie.
Where's the golf?
His shoulders are going. Honestly, he's just going.
Question five, 2-0 Troy. At what club did Gareth Bale and Adam Lallana both play at?
Southampton.
Oh. Southampton.
Yeah, I'm a joke, actually. I'm back. Wow.
That's good for me.
2006-07.
Yeah, I was about to say that, actually, yeah.
No bonus point, I'm sorry. 2-1-0. Question six, career path question.
Oh.
I have played for Arsenal, Everton, Fulham. I have played for Arsenal, Everton, Fulham.
Iwobi.
Iwobi is Come the correct on. Answer.
Very good. Very, very good.
It's on, boys. It's on.
Very good.
It's
on. The Everton that threw me.
He got some transfer fees in, by the way.
Yeah.
Massive transfer fees. Yeah. 30 mil a pop each time.
Question 7. The Derbyshire Derby is between Derby County and what other
Leicester.
Club? Not Leicester. No.
The only one is Forest.
Oh,
no.
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 It's not. I know it. I know it. I've jumped in too early. I know
Chesterfield.
It. Oh, I didn't know it. You didn't even give Alfie a chance to answer.
Who
did you say?
Chesterfield.
You said Chesterfield.
Chess was there going, what?
I thought Burton.
Yeah.
Chesterfield?
Chesterfield versus Derby County.
Derbyshire Derby.
Yeah.
Who did not?
There you go.
I was like, the only Derby I know is Devon Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like two baiting, isn't it?
The Derby, Derby. Yeah.
Yeah. Derby.
The Derby, Derby.
Oh, that's horrible.
Apologies, Derby fans.
Mm. Question 8. Everton have conceded the most Premier League goals in history, but which current Premier League...
Sheffield United.
Nope.
Oh.
No, which current Premier League team are second on that list of all time?
Oh, that's...
Everton conceded the most?
Yeah.
Out of all time in the Premier League?
All time in the Premier League, yeah.
God. I jumped a gun there.
Well, it's got to be a club that's been in
been it forever.
So long.
Aston Villa.
Not Aston Villa, no.
Oh, I've got a free punt. I'm not going to say a big dog. Trying to look in his eyes. He's smiled there. He's conceded the most.
Count down 5.
Yeah.
4.
Before you say it, can I guess?
2.
I'm going to go West Ham.
Not West Ham.
United.
Not United. Ooh. It is Tottenham.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah.
Longevity, isn't it?
Yeah, good.
It's only like 6-7 goals, isn't it, though, between them? Yeah.
I got so carried away there. Just tried to jump in.
Yes, yeah, I love it.
That's the thing, though. If you want to go for the win, you've got to do that sometimes.
So it is 2-1-1, yeah?
Question 9.
Two more questions. Which club has the nickname called the Brewers? Which club has the nickname?
I couldn't think of the name.
I didn't say it because I've already said it before.
But I went to say it and I was like,
I was going to say it, but I thought I've already said them. So use them twice.
Yeah. There we go. Troy's won the quiz.
He's won the quiz. We won to spare.
We don't just want to just win now. We want to humiliate. Go on. Last question.
Man City. Question 10. Who is the highest Italian goal scorer in Premier League history?
It's a good question.
It's not him.
No.
Italian. I've got a rogue one. I don't know if it is, though.
I can't even think of one.
You've won anyway, so you might as well play.
Paolo Di Canio.
It's correct.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think that was right. I just thought, yeah.
That's incredible.
Canio
6. I see a thing yesterday saying he didn't ever play for Italy, though.
I don't know.
He's still Italian, though, weren't he?
Well, no, yeah.
He's still
born.
You were still born there.
I get that. Passport. That's fine.
His passport's Italian.
I saw a thing saying they were talking about players who haven't played for their country.
Yeah.
Get me out of here. You lot have changed. It's all the lights, mate. I'm burning.
It's world class, lads.
Can we get before we do it? Can you just give an official rundown of scores?
For the scores,
I know this.
I was going to go outro then. I was going to say, thank you for watching.
Alfie on 1 point, Ben on 1 point, and Troy, our winner, 4 points.
Well done, boys.
I'll take a joint second.
Really good. Joint second.
5.
I thought it was fine.
You can have 5 points.
Let the viewers decide.
Boys, that was incredible. I hope you enjoyed watching that today. That was a very different show, but lads, that was world class. Troy D, Alfie, well done, boys. See you next week. Guys. Well done.